you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke. We'll read these scriptures in just a few minutes. Luke chapter 2, 1 through 20, and then Matthew chapter 2, 1 through 12. We'll go to those in just a few moments. You can see the title, The Wonders of Christmas. The word wonder is described in the dictionary as follows: a feeling of surprise mingled with admiration, caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unfamiliar, or inexplicable. An example might be, she was speechless with wonder. The synonyms for the word wonder would be admiration, astonishment, amazement, awe. How appropriate it is for us to consider the wonders of Christmas, the amazement, the fascination of the miraculous, incredible, beautiful Christmas story. It's such an incredible story. It's so wonderful that we don't mind hearing it again over and over and over. It's timeless, isn't it? It's timeless. We never tire of imagining of the miracle of the birth and the glory of the angels singing up in heaven. There are certain treasures in life that we enjoy over and over because they inspire us, because they warm our hearts, because they lift our spirits, and so we enjoy them again and again and again. In our modern world, many of us have certain movies that are timeless, movies that we enjoy seeing over and over because they just lift our hearts and we enjoy it. Even though we know the ending, we still watch them again and again. And it's especially true of Christmas movies. Look at this next PowerPoint with me. How many of you remember this movie, It's a Wonderful Life, by Frank Capra, the great director? Starring in it was Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed. It's an incredible classic. Many of us watch year after year after year because it's such a blessing to our hearts. There's another movie you'll see on this next PowerPoint, Holiday Affair. Now, it's not as well known, but it's got an actor that Sherry really likes, Robert Mitchum, and Janet Leigh is in that movie. You can see them talking to each other there. It's a great classic that brings joy and warmth to your heart and has a great ending, and it's one you don't mind seeing over and over again. There's other great Christmas movies. Christmas in Connecticut is one. Or how about this next one you see on the PowerPoint? How many of you have seen this movie? A Christmas Story. Little Ralphie gets his Red Ryder BB gun. It's a crazy movie, but it's become a classic. It's obviously a more modern one. Other classics we are familiar with, The Miracle on 34th Street, The Little Shop Around the Corner with Jimmy Stewart. How about National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation with the Griswold family? I know some of y'all watch that movie, don't you? It's a crazy movie, but it's funny. There's another classic by Frank Capra, directed movie called Meet John Doe with Gary Cooper and Barbara Stanwyck. We enjoy that one. That's a great one. But look at this next image on PowerPoint. Holiday Inn. Now, you may not remember the plot so much, but who'll ever forget the song that became famous, sung by Bing Crosby in this movie? That song, as you know, is White Christmas. What a great song it is. But the Christmas story of the Bible is the classic of all classics. It's the one that we love, we embrace, and it's a story that we never grow tired of. Christmas is indeed a season of wonders. The birth of Christ is an incredible wonder of giving and receiving gifts, of beautiful music, of children with excited, happy faces. But unfortunately, it is so common and it is so easy to lose the wonder of the season, to lose the wonder of Christmas. Has that happened to you? Has it happened to you in the past? When it begins to happen, it seems like the simple joys and the wonders of Christmas are lost in the rush of the season, in the busyness of the season. Let me ask you this morning, do you find yourself doing all the required things, all the things you're supposed to do, going through the motions, so to speak, but without the meaning, without the joy, without the real spirit of Christmas behind what you're doing. We can begin to regain the wonder that God wants us to have. We can begin to regain that wonder by reminding ourselves of and rereading the account of the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. When we go back and reread the Bible and we see the birth of Christ and we examine the characters of the Christmas story, the wonder begins to come back alive in our hearts and in our spirits. So today we'll read the scripture text that we started with in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. We have those for you on the PowerPoint. I'm going to turn to my Bible and read those out of my Bible as you look on the PowerPoint with me or out of your Bibles. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings." Don't you love that message? "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told to them. Now if you're following your Bibles, turn to Matthew's Gospel. In the second chapter, Matthew chapter 2, we'll begin reading in that first verse. We'll read verses 1 through 12. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews? For he have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the young child. When you have found him, bring back word to me, that I may come and worship him also." When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Beautiful reading of the Christmas story. I share 3 points with you today. Number one, the first point is this: the wonder of the angels moved them to glory. Look at this next PowerPoint with me, this image of an angel. Can you imagine being those shepherds out in the field that night? And suddenly the angel is in the heavens. Luke says, and suddenly there was an angel with the angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Angels played such an incredible role in the Christmas story. They played such an incredible role in the birth of Christ. For example, the angel Gabriel had appeared to Zacharias to tell him of his son, John's birth. And angel Gabriel also appeared to Mary, telling her to rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord's with you, and blessed are you among women. Then we have that story in the Bible of the angel of the Lord appearing to Joseph, Mary's husband, to tell him, don't be afraid. Go ahead and take Mary as your wife, because she is conceived by the work of the Holy Spirit. Then there's the angel of the Lord that appeared to the shepherds that we see in this image, telling them there's good tidings of great joy. There's good news. That's for everyone. But there's born to you this day in the city of David, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In fact, in Luke's gospel, in the 15th chapter in verse 10, the Bible tells us that it says, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. They rejoice in heaven over one more declaring, Jesus is my Savior, I repent of my sins. My prayer is that the same wonder that moved the angels to glory, that wonder will fill all of our hearts, and that wonder that caused the shepherds to go and worship the Savior in the manger, that same wonder will fill us with such a powerful sense of God's wonderful miracles that it'll move us to worship and to give glory to whom glory is due. Oh, what a good thing it is when that happens in our lives. The second point this morning, the wonder of the shepherds moved them to go. And look at this next PowerPoint with the image of the shepherds traveling in the middle of the night, looking up, watching that star. In Luke's gospel, we just read that the angels had gone away from them. The shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and just see this thing that's come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And it says the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they'd seen and they'd heard. You look at that story. I love this part of the story. The good tidings, the glad tidings, the good news that was first given. It wasn't given to men of great importance or authority. It wasn't given to kings. It wasn't given to priests. It wasn't given to the wealthy. But it was given to humble men, the shepherds. They were the first to receive the message. Imagine being one of them out on that hillside, traveling to see the child. Verse 18 tells us, "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds." The shepherds had a great story to tell, didn't they? They told everyone they knew, "You're not going to believe what happened to us. You're not going to believe what we saw. You're not going to believe what God did for us that night on the side of that hill as we warmed ourselves by the fire." It's a beautiful story, isn't it? It was 1963. It was just a few days before Christmas. I was 11 years old. And as we drove home from the Wednesday night worship service at Urban Park Assembly of God Church, my mother was humming a song, and she was attempting to get her children's attention away from the fact that there was really no money in our home for presents that year, that we were wearing last year's old worn-out coats and clothes, and that we were living on potatoes and beans. She'd fix mashed potatoes. She'd fix fried potatoes. She'd fix baked potatoes. Potatoes were filling and they were cheap, and we had very little money. So beans, potatoes was an important staple in our home. Just a few days before, with tears in her eyes, my mom had told us not to expect very much at all for Christmas. She was behind on our mortgage. My dad had just got out of the hospital after being so drunk that he walked across South Lamar Avenue, totally oblivious to a car coming down upon him and hitting him and going about 40 miles an hour. It broke both of his legs, his collarbone, his ribs, one arm, part of his neck. He was in a body cast. The hospital had dismissed him. And instead of coming home to recover, he insisted on going to the little house that served as an office at his used car lot. He said it was so that he could be there to sell some more cars and make some money. But even I, as a little 11-year-old boy, knew that the real reason was so that he could drink his favorite whiskey and beer, which he would never do around the house. As an 11-year-old boy, I had grown accustomed to the circumstances of my family and the uncertain events that seemed to always surround our lives. And my mother had told us, just keep trusting in Jesus. Just keep believing. Just have faith. God is with us. Things will indeed work out. Well, as we pulled into the driveway of our home that cold December night, the headlights shone down the driveway, and we saw the porch light was on. We always left it on. But suddenly, as we looked down there, we could see on the porch there were boxes and sacks stacked on our back porch. It was on that side of the house where the driveway went right beside it at the very back, and the light was on. We could see the packages, and immediately we knew someone had been there. Suddenly, we're all excited. We jumped out of the car. We ran up to the porch to examine the sacks and the boxes, and they were full of groceries. They were full of new coats and clothes for each of us, and toys for my sister and I, toys beautifully wrapped in this beautiful Christmas wrapping. And there was even a special gift for my mother. It was an envelope with enough money to pay the mortgage and have a little bit left over. Well, Mom started crying. Well, us kids, we were just excited, you know. We got toys and presents and new coats. We thought it was great. We were thrilled with all the goodies. It seems that one of our neighbors, with the good folks at our church, had worked together and had bought the gifts, the food and the coats, and put the money together to help us catch up on the mortgage. Just like the shepherds in that Christmas story, the wonder of Christmas had touched their hearts and moved them to go and to do something for a family that was so desperate and in need of help. Oh, may God's wonder of the Christmas story and the love of Christ move all of us to go and to give and to get out of ourselves and bless those around us this Christmas. Finally, the third point of the sermon today is the wonder of the wise men moved them to give. And of course, this next PowerPoint is that image of the wise men coming to visit the Savior, Jesus. Matthew's gospel said when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The wise men, you think about the wise men. To me, they're the most mysterious characters of the Christmas story. We're not sure exactly what country they came from. It says they came from the east. And we're not really sure how many there were. You know, the Christmas story, even in this image, it always shows three of them. Now, the Bible never said there was three of them. There was three gifts. So we just suppose since there was three gifts, there must have been three wise men. We have no idea. It might have been 12 wise men for all we know. What we are sure of is this, that they gave gifts and they worshiped Jesus. So Christmas, we know Christmas is a season of giving, and it also should be a season of worship. Giving and worship go hand in hand. God gave us the most priceless, precious gift that we could ever receive, His Son. The wise men came, they worshiped, they gave their gifts to Christ. They were moved. Oh, they were moved by the wonder of the birth of Jesus. Yes, we give gifts at Christmas. It's our tradition, giving gifts. Listen to this story of a woman who shopped for her Christmas gifts. Now, this story has been around for a number of years, and I suspect many of you have heard it or read it. But listen to it one more time today, and let it just touch your heart and remind you of the eternal truths that we're speaking of today. Listen to this woman's words. It was only 5 days before Christmas. I made my way to the Houston area Target shopping center. The parking lot was packed, and it was even worse inside the store. Why did I come today? My feet ached as much as my head, and I looked at my list of people I needed to purchase a gift for. People who claimed that they wanted nothing, but I knew their feelings would be hurt if I didn't buy them something. I considered gift buying anything but fun. And I hurriedly filled my shopping cart and proceeded to find the shortest checkout line. They were all so full, and it looked like even the one I found would take at least 20 minutes. Well, in front of me were two small children, a boy about 10 and a younger girl about 5. The boy wore a ragged coat, enormously large, and tattered tennis shoes jutted out from underneath his jeans that were too short for him. He clutched several crumpled dollar bills in his hands. The girl's clothing resembled her brother's. Her head was a matted mess of curly hair, and remainders of the evening meal was still on her face. She carried a beautiful pair of shiny gold house slippers. As the Christmas music played in the store's stereo system, the girl hummed along with the song. It was off key, but she was so happy. When they finally approached the checkout stand, the girl carefully placed the gold slippers on the counter. She treated them as if they were a priceless treasure. The clerk rang up the bill. "That'll be $6.09. The boy laid his crumpled dollars on top of the counter, and he searched in his pockets, and he finally came up with $3.12. He looked at his little sister and said, "I guess we'll have to put them back. We'll come back another time, maybe tomorrow." And as he said that, a soft sob broke from the little girl as she began to cry. And she said, "But Jesus would have loved these shoes." And her little brother says, "Well, we'll go home and work some more. Don't cry. We'll come back." Quickly, as I stood in line behind those children, I handed the $3 to the cashier. These children had waited in line for a long time, and after all, it was Christmas. And suddenly a pair of arms came around me, and a small voice said, "Thank you, ma'am." I said, "What did you mean when you said Jesus would like these shoes?" And the little boy answered. He said, "Our mommy is sick and is going to heaven. And daddy said she might go to heaven before Christmas to be with Jesus." The girl then spoke up and she said, "My Sunday school teacher said the streets of heaven are shiny gold, just like these slippers. Won't mommy be beautiful walking on those streets to match these gold slippers?" My eyes flooded as I looked into her tear-streaked face, and I said, "Yes, I'm sure she will be beautiful walking on the streets of heaven in these slippers." Silently, I thanked God for using these children to remind me of the true spirit of giving. Christmas isn't about the amount of money that you paid for. It's not about the volume of gifts that you buy. It's not about impressing friends or family members. It's about the love that Christ fills our hearts. It's about that love that He wants us to share, just as He's filled us with that love, that we go about sharing that love with those around us and filling or attempting to fill their hearts with His love. Look at this next PowerPoint with me. Christmas is about one thing. It's about that unspeakable gift, the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. That God showed the world how very much He loves you and me. I pray that by the help of the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, that we will never lose the wonder of it all. God, help us to stay simple. Help us to stay humble. In closing this morning, as you step back and you look at this beautiful story of Christ, the story gives us this key that we can once again have the full wonder of Christmas. The key is this. If you look closely at the two groups of people or the class of folks that first found baby Jesus, it was the shepherds and it was the wise men. It was the simple and the learned. It was those who knew that they knew nothing and those who knew that they didn't know everything. Only the humble and only the simple can truly realize the wonders of Christmas. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Thank you, Father. Thank you for the beautiful wonder of Christmas. Thank you, Father, for the reminder of us in this place today to humble ourselves and to receive that simple message of good news and hope that comes from our Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for those in this place today, for those that may hear and watch this sermon, they may be struggling, that are battling depression or discouragement, that have a dullness in their heart and spirit. They don't have that wonder. Father, may Your Holy Spirit break through all of that to show the love and joy and hope that is real, that is our hope today. Let that love grow inside of us so powerfully that we can't help but share and show it to those around us, to genuinely, without any strings attached, to show that love to a lost and dying world that needs Christ as their Savior. Father, I pray that if anyone hears these words today that do not know Christ as their Savior, they're not certain that heaven would be their home. I pray they pray that simple prayer to ask You to forgive them of their sins, to come into their heart, to be their Savior, and they'll be born again and know with certainty that heaven will be their home. Let it be so according to Your Word and by the work of Your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.